got a few notices before we start. Next Sunday will be communion here, led by Peter. The following Sunday is Remembrance Sunday, and we will be worshipping with St. Mary's Church down the road. And they have asked if someone from Bethlehem would like to lead the prayers, which are, Ali's got them, they are written down. So if there's anyone who is available on that Sunday and is willing to lead the prayers, could you please see Ali at the end of the service? Also, I don't know if any of you went to Kay's funeral on Friday, Debbie's mum. Karen's brought a couple of these booklets, the Orders of Service, with some lovely photographs of the family. And we all remember Kay. I particularly remember Kay with John Perkins doing the sketches that they used to do together years ago here at Bethlehem. So if you'd like to have a look, they'll be in the back. Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone. I'm certainly sure Jean and Paul would like to thank everyone for your prayers for us when we were in Israel. We had a wonderful time worshipping with people from all over the world and a conference for the Feast of Tabernacles organized by the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. And it was wonderful. It was like Easter People, if any of you remember going there, with all the wonderful speakers and worship in the mornings and in the evenings. And although our journey there was very stressful, nothing to do with the situation in Israel, but delays and cancellations, and then our luggage didn't arrive till the Wednesday. But we coped, didn't we, Jean? It was a learning curve for us all, to be honest. And so I'd just like to thank you all for praying for us while we were away. And I know Doreen's got something she'd like to say very briefly. Thank you, Doreen.
I think, first of all, I just want to say praise the Lord, because I know a lot of people weren't at Bethesda last week, but I did share with everybody, and I think most of you do know, that Jimmy had the all clear for the operation that he had done. And I just want to thank you so much again for your prayers, because as I said, this family here is wonderful. And it's lovely to include Bethesda in this as well, because we have become one big family. But the answer to prayer, I know I shouldn't be surprised, but again, we always are. And first of all, when Jimmy came back, he was only allowed a yogurt pot of puree food. And when we went back for his checkup the first time, they were pleased, but they wanted him to at least plateau with his weight. Well, he's been stepping up. He's on solid foods now. I mean, still small amounts. He'll never get back to huge amounts. But I said, well, weigh yourself, because I'm always concerned when I go over there, they're going to think I'm starving him. And he put on 5 pounds. So although he has been advised to have the other lot of chemo, because although everything's gone from there, there's always the possibility of little things floating around. So he will be having that at a later date once he's settled. But he's been shopping with me. He's cooking the dinner today. He's doing so much. And like I said, all I can say is praise the Lord and thank you, God, and thank you, family, for all the prayers, because they've been answered in abundance. Yeah, thank you.
Isn't it? And it's no coincidence that our whole theme this year has been the power of prayer. And it's been a wonderful theme. And we continue today with a prayer of unity. It's all about the early church praying together. And we'll start, first of all, by singing two songs, "For I'm Building a People of Power," and "Jesus Put This Song Into Our Hearts." Father God, we want to lift your name high in our service today. You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, mighty God and Saviour, and we adore and praise you. We thank you for the privilege of coming together today to worship you. We thank you that you are always with us, especially when we are anxious, lonely, or afraid. We thank you that it says many times in your word, do not fear. We hold on to that assurance, Lord, especially in troubled times. Forgive us when we have not come to you first with our problems, with our hurts, our worries. We know that we can't solve these things in our own strength, and yet so often we try to. As we learn today about the early church and how they came together regularly to pray, help us to acknowledge that there is power in prayer, both our individual prayers and corporate prayer when we join with others. Amen. Now, it might need a glamorous assistant for this. So if anyone would like to come and help me. Don't all shout at once. It's not difficult. Well, I did say glamorous. No, maybe. Just an assistant then we do. Thank you, darling. I've just hold that piece of paper for me. Now, sometimes when we try to handle challenges on our own, we might find it difficult to stay strong. If we've got a really big problem, a really big health issue, Doreen's helping me here, we might find it difficult to stay strong. So just as I can rip this paper, just like this paper, this piece of paper doesn't stay strong when I rip it together. However, Doreen can take that same paper and fold it again and again and again.
Oh, I can see what's coming.
And now, well, I think that'll do. Oh, come on then. So now, this piece of paper's got many, many layers. So this piece of paper, try tearing that now.
Oh, no.
So it's much, much harder to tear that same piece of paper. In the same way, praying with others, joining together, making these layers or these people praying, can strengthen our faith and unite us. We've got a great example of that, haven't we, right here with Jimmy. So don't give up.
But I think it's just the family here.
Well, yes. And yeah, we know that everybody has been praying. Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to remind you of Psalm 133 says, and I know I'm paraphrasing here, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters, it says live together in harmony. I think pray together mm-hmm. in harmony as well. There is definitely power in prayer. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Doreen. And now we're going to sing the song that teaches us never to give up, to keep on praying.
What's your impossible? What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart without you? Beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on piling on Him.
It gives to all of us in that the power of prayer. And we've had examples, haven't we, in this very service of how our collective prayers, when we raise them together to God, can just increase those layers, increase the power of that prayer, and how wonderful that is. And so in the series up to now, we've been thinking about the individual power of prayer. And of course, that is incredibly powerful. But today, we're focusing on that added power that we can obtain when we pray in unity with one another. And I think Bethlehem is just a fabulous example of a church that is built on the power of unified prayer. What an amazing place this is. And this morning I wasn't feeling brilliant, but I thought, do you know what? I'm at Bethlehem this morning and I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all one family together, aren't we? And we can rely on each other. And we can help one another. And we can just share God's love with one another. And what an amazing privilege it is to be a part of this church. Now, we're going to be hearing a sample of some of the things that the early church were getting up to. And Heather is going to read for us in a moment. But I thought it might be helpful before we do that to think about the context of that early church. And so in the beginning of the New Testament, we hear about the life of Jesus, about his teaching and healing, and how he taught the apostles. And basically, Jesus then said to the apostles, I'm not going to be around for too much longer, but you need to carry on the work that I have started. You need to share the good news of how Jesus, by having faith in him, we can all be forgiven for all the mistakes we've made and instead just look forward to a life with God and in serving one another. And Jesus said to the disciples, now it's your turn, you need to go. But he said, you're not going to be on your own. He said, because I'm going to send a helper. And he explained that the Holy Spirit would fall on them and on all believers, and that then they would be empowered to be able to share the good news of Jesus, armed with that power of the Holy Spirit. And the reading that we're going to have is from book 4 of Acts, and it's a couple of chapters after Pentecost. And I always think Pentecost is, if somebody asks me, if you could be alive for one day in history, I always think Pentecost would be that day I'd want to be at. Can you imagine that power of God just falling on people like tongues of fire, people speaking in all these amazing languages? I'd like to have been there that day. But they're armed with the power of the Spirit, and I think that's important for the context of when we hear about the early church. So, Heather, I wonder if you'd be so kind. Thank you. Wherever you want, darling.
The early church prayed together. Not long after Jesus returned to heaven, his friends and many others who believed in him formed a special group we call the early church. Prayer became a big part of their lives. They would meet regularly, share meals, listen to the apostles' teachings, and pray together. One day, two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, were in trouble. They had been telling people about Jesus and performing miracles in his name. This upset some powerful people, and they put Peter and John in jail. But even in prison, Peter and John knew they weren't alone. They had their friends praying for them. When Peter and John were finally let go, they rushed back to where the early church met. Everyone was happy to see them safe and sound. A bit like Jean and Diane after their holiday. They all gathered round and listened to Peter and John's story. Then they did what they always did in times of joy or worry or need. They prayed. They asked God for courage and strength. They prayed for themselves, each other, and everyone who would hear about Jesus through them. They prayed for boldness to speak the truth and for hearts to be open to God's love. This special time of prayer made the early church even stronger. They kept meeting, praying, sharing everything, and telling everyone about Jesus. And just like in those early days, prayer continues to be an important part of church life. Thanks be to God for these words.
To still be absolutely fired up with that power of the Holy Spirit that they had only recently received. And they were making the most of it, weren't they? They were sharing stories with one another, but also telling others about Jesus. And in a way that said, well, I can tell you how Jesus has transformed my life. Would you like to hear? And they prayed, as we heard, for that boldness to be able to speak and share their faith with others. But the thing that really strikes me about this particular passage that we read is that everything in that church, everything in the lives of those people are underpinned by prayer. In the lives of the early church, prayer was not an add-on that we might do on a Sunday morning or occasionally during the week. Prayer was their whole lives. They wanted to live their whole lives as a prayer to God. They wanted to share news of what Jesus had done for them, the freedom that he had given them. Even though they were in an occupied territory and the Romans were there oppressing them, they could find freedom through Jesus. They could find hope in Jesus. It's not like they were, you know, just sitting there minding their own business. They were being persecuted for their faith. But Jesus had told them, just keep your eye on that prize. Paul talks about this, doesn't he? Fighting the good fight and keeping our eyes on Jesus. And I was chatting with Anne earlier, and I was saying to Anne how incredible I've seen Anne's faith grow through the very difficult process that she has been faced with her health. And it's in those times when we're struggling, when we really have to rely on God to help us, to strengthen us, to support us. It's when we look back on those times that we can see just how much God was there with us. It's almost like at the time, we're so busy just trying to get through one day after another that we forget that Jesus is there with us. And this prayer, which became their everyday life, so they weren't just meeting on a Sunday. Now, some people might find that quite difficult to get their heads around. Meeting more than once a week? You know, what was going on there? They wanted to be together. They wanted to share stories of God, of Jesus, and how they could all be brought together. They were all from different backgrounds, different economic backgrounds, different countries even. But they had one common purpose, and that was their belief in Jesus, their belief that through Jesus their lives had been transformed, and they had managed to find freedom even in oppression. We hear about it with Paul and Silas, don't we, as well, when they're in prison, praising the Lord in prison. And you know, it's amazing that when we focus on God and we focus on others, our own worries get smaller, don't they, in comparison? Because we're not dwelling on them, we're not focusing on them, we're dwelling on God. And to me, this church, Bethlehem, is just an amazing example of the power of unified prayer. Not just on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday evening in the prayer group, at all the meetings that we attend, when we just ask God to be present and guide us. And I just think that this is why Bethlehem is such a very, very special place. And prayer not only just helps us in our relationship with God, we've already spoken about that in this series on the power of prayer, but it also strengthens our relationship with others. When we pray together, we are stronger, aren't we, together? As Diane mentioned, with the paper and the layers being thicker. On the 12 hours of prayer that we had, I remember walking in the church at the end of the day for Holy Communion service. And it was as if you could, and I said this at the time, you could feel the prayers in the room just all spreading around, mingling, mixing and lifting themselves to God. And that is a real power in the unity of prayer. And so, just as the early church had been filled with that power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, never let us forget that we are filled with that same power that God dwells within us in the form of his Holy Spirit, that we connect to one another with that power of the Holy Spirit. And when we are unified and when we are praising God together, wanting to do his missional work together, you've only got to look at things like Messi and the amazing ministry. And everyone will tell you, we get more out of Messi ministry than we put in. It's that unity that we're all together in this. We're all together in life. And although we may have been strangers when we first met, now we are all family through Jesus. We are strengthened through that cornerstone of Jesus in our lives. And so I urge us all to just remember the power of prayer, but also, even more importantly, the collective power of unified prayer. Hallelujah. And we're now going to take up our offering for the work of the church. For all the blessings you shower on us day by day, our friends, our families, our finances. Lord, we recognize that everything that we have comes from you. Whether that's money, whether that's gifts, or whether that's relationships. Lord, we thank you for all that you do and give to us. We thank you for the love that you shower on us. And Lord, we want to offer something to you to further the work of your kingdom here in this place. And so, Lord, we pray that our unified prayers would continue to build this church, to build power in your people. And we pray, Lord, that forever we would be unified in our love for you and others. Amen. And when we were planning the service, Diane and I thought, well, what's the only possible song that we can sing to just tell us all about that unification of the church? And so we are going to sing together, Bind Us Together.
Take one of the jigsaw pieces. You weren't asked to do a jigsaw this morning. It's all right, Mary, you can relax. Make sure that the piece you choose has both the outward bits and the holes, so something like that. So make sure it has parts that reach outwards and also spaces to be filled. Let us pray. Hold the jigsaw piece in your hand and pray for yourself. Ask God to help you. Thank Him for the good things in your life. Ask Him to help you to see the big picture of the plan He has for your life. Look at the parts of your piece that reach outwards. Pray for people who reach out and help and show love to others. Thank God for the people who help and show love to you. Look at your piece and look at the parts that have spaces waiting to be filled. Pray for people who have lost something or someone, or who feel that they have something missing in their lives. Ask God to help them to know that they are loved by Him. Try to fit your piece into the piece of the person next to you. It probably won't fit. Pray for people who find it hard to fit in. People who have moved to a new place. People who feel they have no friends. People who are being bullied. Pray that they will find peace, friends, and happiness. Hold your peace and think of someone from your community, your friends or family, that you would like to pray for. Thank God for that person and ask God to bless and help them. When we look at the one piece in our hand, Lord, we can't make sense of it. It's only when all the pieces are joined together that we see the bigger, completed picture, your perfect plan for us all. Help us to expand our worldview to see your big picture. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I haven't got my order of service, so I don't know what's next. Sorry.
One of the hostages sends his back, he said, to 2 years of hell in the tunnel. He felt in his body the prayer all the time from the people.
Our last song, sorry ladies, you could have told me this. Let there be love shared among us. Just say the prayer on the screen together before we start. Dear God, thank you for the early church and how they prayed together. Help us to remember to pray not just by ourselves, but with others, sharing hopes and worries. Help us to remember the example of the early believers who lifted their voices to you as one. Encourage us to do the same,
supporting
one another through prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we say the mess of grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Anytime you can do one book, that was brilliant.
No, lovely service anyway.
The prayer was low. I mean, the reading was low.